people use it because they want to find new ways, because the old ways are not working. And new ways require new mindsets, because the old mindsets are not working.
Did your perspective on design thinking changed after writing the thesis, after doing so much research on it?
Yes, quite a lot. I mean, it became more clear.
Hi, and welcome to the Thesis Talks by OAE. And today we're here with Diana, or actually it's just me, Doa is not here. But I'm sitting with Diana on the floor right now. We're sitting on a very cozy blanket. Yeah, welcome.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. And I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks for joining. Maybe we just start right away with your topic. What was the name of your thesis?
The name of our thesis, I had a thesis partner, luckily, Julia, and we decided to work on the topic of design thinking mindsets by learning. And we started off with, actually I was curious about to know more about design thinking, and I really wanted to do something in those terms, practical. And then we figured out that it's not only the process of design thinking that is normally perceived as the best tool to come up with innovative solutions, but also the mindset behind it that's important. So that's why we dived into mindset and how we can actually learn a mindset. And it was quite a challenging topic.
Yeah, I can imagine, because how do you define a mindset and how can you research a mindset?
Exactly. It's the tough part of defining the mindset is that there are no guidelines what a mindset contains. It's also a very individual thing, but also, as we know from the process of design thinking, through the process you go into a collective experience. So mostly design thinking is done in small groups with very different individuals who have a different background, and that's the essence of having a successful design thinking session. So our interest was like how through going through this collective experience you actually gain an individual one as well.
And an individual experience or mindset?
Yes, individual mindset.
Okay, yeah.
And it's interesting because, to be honest, there is like, it is interconnected, but both in literature and in practice, we figured out that it's interconnected, the mindset and the process. So by going through the process, you understand better the mindset, but also by opening up through the mindset, it helps you go through the process.
Yeah, that is a question that I have. Like, it's the question with the egg and the chicken. Like, who's first? Is it the process or is it the mindset? Can you start practicing design thinking without actually having the mindset yet and then learning it through the process, or is it the other way around?
It is the chicken and the egg situation. If we break down the process into different steps, we found that there are four phases of the learning process, and the phases are actually like diverging, assimilating, converging, and accommodating. Mm-hmm. So it's through going through these four phases of learning, you actually need a different approach, mental approach to the different tasks. Mm-hmm. And therefore, in some parts of the process, you have to be very open-minded and come up with creative ideas. And in other parts of the process, you really need to be focused and come up with one particular challenge that you want to tackle. By having various group of people together, if there is also good facilitation of the process, you can actually gain a lot by engaging different people in different parts of the process, but also the ones that are not comfortable in some, they can elevate their skills and knowledge in that.
So then really you acquire this mindset, this full design thinking mindset through the process.
Yes.
Because you also said it's a learning process. So yes. It's not just a process that we go through in order to create a product or service. It's also in order for us to
evolve.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And the interesting part is that one of the reasons why we worked with two innovation agencies, one in Bulgaria and one in Germany. However, we were interested to see two aspects, the two perspectives, the perspective of the consultant and the perspective of the client that is engaged in a design thinking workshop session. So it turned out that actually consultants are very much aware of the learning process and the learning curve that is necessary. So they navigate the client through all the steps, introducing the different instruments and tools from design thinking in order for the client to experience. And then based on this experience, the client actually accumulates a mindset and they can reflect backwards and see, ah, this is what you mean by open-minded or empathy or whatever.
So you talk to, maybe we can talk a little bit about your process, because I think you flew to Bulgaria and then you stayed there for a while and you are from Bulgaria. Yeah. So, and then you also went to Berlin.
In Bulgaria, there was the agency perspective, but also they gave us contact to one of their biggest clients. And in Berlin, we had a lot of agency perspective as well, because we visited LaunchLab's office there. So we had a very good overview on what the consultants imagine when they're designing a workshop session, what they have in mind, also how to, like, where do they want to direct the session towards, and how do they navigate their client in this madness of, like, creativity, and it could be very frustrating at times. Yeah.
The four phases that you told me before.
Yeah.
Is that something that you developed or that is already in research?
No, this is something that is in research. What we did according to, like, research is that we used two different theories. One on the learning process in innovation, this one that, with the four phases that I mentioned. And then another one was a study that included different attitudes that describe a design thinking mindset. And that was quite interesting, because all of the things we normally say that are related to design thinking, for example, being empathic or being open-minded, iterative, yes, all those things, they are named as attitudes. And there were quite a lot, I think around 70.
70?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
But then we realized there is no systematic way of doing this. There are no guidelines. So we thought maybe if we figure out a way to bring that information better together and make it a little bit visual, then consultants, first of all, would have some kind of a framework to work with, but also the clients can have an overview of, like, what's happening with their learning process on the way. We use this framework and we use the attitudes I was talking about, all those different attitudes. And we started creating our own framework based on those two. And for example, diverging, we named it like observe. And then assimilating is like absorb. Then we had converging, we called generate. And the last one, accommodating, is activate.
Okay, cool.
Because we also try to translate it for ourselves.
Yeah.
And so first phase includes like observation. Then in the second phase, you absorb this insights that you're gaining. The third one is generating. So you generate new ideas.
Yeah.
And then activating is how do we implement this?
Yeah.
And then we came up with this framework, which is called the Design Thinking Learning Mindsets Framework. So we look at the process as four phases of learning. And in each phase, you have a different approach. And according to each phase, there could be different attitudes that are relevant for this approach to be successful. So we divided all the attitudes that we found in the theory, and then we placed them into the four phases, and we also named the approach. And this gives a better overview of what's happening in each phase. And this was quite important for us, because we realized one of the biggest, and now we're coming to a little bit of findings, but one of the biggest challenge for organizational change is that, so middle managers are mostly the ones who are driving change. But then the senior management is part of the organization where decisions are made, and that makes the space for innovation to blossom. And if the senior management is not on board, or they don't understand the importance of not only having a process and one or two sessions, but to engage more people in this process of change, then really the middle manager is very stuck into what they, whatever they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And this, what happens is that we observe that there is a collaboration between the consultant and the middle manager coming together to solve one particular problem. But then on the way, they think about it as long-term project. First of all, the way organizations right now with bigger structures, they are, the system is not geared for this kind of, for design thinking yeah. or for innovation.
Did your perspective on design thinking changed?
Yes, quite a lot. I mean, it became more clear because
mm-hmm.
that was my intention. One of my intentions in the beginning, or the curiosity that I had from design thinking, is that I've always been a very creative person, but also I wanted to create something tangible. Yeah. And I was, before design thinking, I was very bad at doing this, honestly. I was more into having all those ideas and not knowing what to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I fell in love in the process, because I was like, wow, this really gives me the opportunity to stop thinking of how it should be and just do whatever I can today.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the collaborative aspect, I really love that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that I found myself into situations in my everyday life when I started using it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, this is interesting. And my friend started mocking me about, you always use like your innovation terms and design thinking yeah. terms. And I'm like, yes, but I'm prototyping or I'm iterating or whatever. And that made me think like, why do I do this thing? Why do I think that it's so applicable and so relevant for my everyday life?
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that I am developing a mindset. I myself was developing a mindset throughout my master
mm-hmm.
To create, to start collaborate with other people, to be open to failure, all those things that I was really afraid of doing beforehand.
I want to challenge you on one little thing, because I know that many big companies say, oh yes, we are very innovative and we use this not so new process of design thinking. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's here since a few years now. But when you then really go into the company and you look at how they're really working, they are not doing anything close to design thinking. And I mean, design thinking, as you said, Tim Brown, it mm-hmm. comes from a designer perspective. So, yeah. So how do you really think that we can bring design thinking into these very structured organizations and mm-hmm. make them use it like a designer?
Very interesting question. I had the chance to look into some of those big corporations even here in Denmark. Most of them, what they do is get the design early process outside of the big structure and they do innovation lab. The fun part is that what I observed is the team is very excited about the process. However, it's exactly the opposite what you said. They don't use the mindset, but they use the tools.
Mm-hmm.
They were so proud, for example, like I'm not going to say the name of the company, but one of them, they were so proud of showing me their sprints and all the post-its, and the whole small room in this house was full of post-its. So after a whole like half an hour of post-its and how exciting it is to work with design thinking, I was like, so... have you ever talked to the people you want to design for? Mm. And then the guy looked at me as like, no, we haven't thought about it. So I think what is necessary to in order for this to be successful is just that the base is there, the base for being open-minded and the base for being acceptive to other people's opinions, to appreciate whoever has critical points. Yes, there is a huge difference between a business mindset and a designer mindset. But in theory as well, that we found a lot of research on stating that it would be nice or it would be beneficial for different leading figures in companies to understand better the designer mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, managers or even CEOs, understanding designer mindset, they can navigate their own organizations better towards a different future.
Mm-hmm.
This, I think, is the essence of how we can just empower organizations to think differently,
to act differently. Yeah, and I mean, that is so important right now. It wasn't so much important 50 years ago because things changed much slower.
And 50 years ago, it was the need, stability.
Yeah.
Now, that's not a need because you sometimes you don't know even who your competitors are, how they act and what they do. And if you're not, that's also important for organizations, if you're not thinking upfront, then you're screwed kind of because the traditional is not always the best. Yeah. And however, I really believe that there is a good idea to have structure.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of balance, I guess, between structure and being explorative.
Mm. Yeah, super interesting. So for me, the main takeaway is that we need a design thinking mindset in our work, but also in life, I guess, to deal with other things besides work. Yeah. At least that what you did and what you kind of practicing, I guess.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you so much for joining us today.
And thank you for having the thesis talks because it's so interesting to dive into other people's work.
We want to share knowledge. That's the idea.
Yes. So thanks for that.
Yes, of course.
And have a great day, everybody.